शीलसंधनम् रमण्यं दीनवत्सलम् मुक्तरं दानसेतो न मे निवेदितरं प्रजाः तम् एवं शीलसंधनम् रमण्यं दीनवत्सलम् मुक्तरं दानसेतो न respectful to the devotees of the Supreme Lord, and very kind to the poor and innocent, and he protected religious principles. With all these qualifications, he was considered to be the direct father of all the citizens. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The personal qualities of Dhruva Maharaj, described herein, are the exemplary qualities of a saintly king. Not only a king, but also the leaders of A modern democratic or impersonal government must be qualified with all these godly characteristics. Then the citizens of the state can be happy. It is clearly stated here that the citizens thought of Dhruva Maharaj as their father, as a child depending on the able father is completely satisfied. So the citizens of the state being protected by the state or the king should remain satisfied in every respect. At the present moment, however, there is no guarantee by the government of even the primary necessities of life in the state, namely protection of the lives and property of the citizens. New paragraph. One word is very significant in this connection, Brahmanyam. Dhruva Maharaj was very devoted to the Brahmanas, who engaged in the study of the Vedas and thereby know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are always busy propagating Krishna consciousness. The state should be very respectful to societies that distribute God consciousness all over the world. But, unfortunately, at the present moment, there is no state or government support given to such movements. As for good qualities, it is very difficult to find anyone in state administration with any good qualities. The administrators simply sit in their administrative posts and say no to every request as if they were paid to say no to the citizens. Another word, Dina Vatsalam, is very significant also. The state head should be very kind to the innocent. Unfortunately, in this age, the state agents and the presidents draw good salaries from the state, and they pose themselves as very pious, but they allow the running of slaughterhouses where innocent animals are killed. If we try to compare the godly qualities of Dhruva Maharaj to the qualities of modern statesmen, we can say there is no actual comparison. Dhruva Maharaj was present in the Satya Yuga, as will be clear from the next verses. He was the ideal king in Satya Yuga. The government administration in the present age, Kali Yuga, is bereft of all godly qualities. Considering all these points, the people today have no alternative but to take to Krishna consciousness for protection of religion, life, and property. Read the verse again. Tam eva shila samkanam brahmanyam dina vatsalam goptaram dharma setunam mini vekitaram praja. Dhruva Maharaj was endowed with all godly qualities. He was very respectful to the devotees of the Supreme Lord, and very kind to the poor and innocent, and he protected religious principles. With all these qualifications, he was considered to be the direct father of all the citizens. In this section of verses, before, because the chapter title is Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. So this is before he goes back to Godhead. This is after he achieves spiritual perfection. And the 36,000 years that he's ruling as the king, that indicates it's Satya Yuga, because otherwise that's not possible. It's describing how he ruled. in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he's stating that Dhruva Maharaj is showing by example the proper execution of duties as karma yoga, and then later he leaves those duties and does dhyana yoga. But actually he's transcendental to either karma yoga or dhyana yoga or any other sadhana. He's on the perfectional platform that was demonstrated way back when he was just a small boy. So this is the context. When he was just a small boy, he achieved spiritual perfection. He went from satkam bhakti to nishkam bhakti, to shuddha bhakti. Just like the description of Prahlad Maharaj, where he's being touched by the lotus hand or paw of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And it's described that this is a fortune, a display of mercy that even the goddess of fortune herself had never experienced. Inconceivable for her. But Prahlad Maharaj was a recipient of such mercy. Dhruva Maharaj, similarly, the Kancha, the lotus of the personality of Godhead Lord Vishnu, touching his forehead, allowing him to recite such beautiful prayers. In those prayers, it exhibits his attainment. It wasn't in the sadhana stage, he was in the perfectional stage. In the discussion of Ramananda Roy with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Lord Chaitanya is asking Ramananda Roy to identify the sadhya sadhana, the goal of life and the means to achieve it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears some of our most famous verses, our favorite verses of Bhagavad Gita, he says external. Sarvadharmam Krityaja Mahamekam Sharanam Raja. External. Brahmabhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakamsati. External. Yad Karoshi Yad Asnasi Yad Jahosi. External. What the previous verses show, the internal position of Dhruva Maharaj. The internal position of Dhruva Maharaj is after Lord Vishnu left, he was torn with these two conflicting emotions, complete ecstasy and complete devastation. The ecstasy was he saw the personality of Godhead face to face. His whole body was in this state of ecstasy. He was exhibiting such symptoms of ecstasy he couldn't speak until the Lord helped him by touching with the conch so he could speak. Beautiful words, beautiful prayers. And then the Lord, after giving him residence in Dhruvaloka, after he rules the kingdom of Uttanapada for 36,000 years, then you can go to that place. And then the Lord left. And when the Lord left, he was sobbing. I could have gone with the Lord, except for this stupid material desire that said, I want a kingdom. I want a big kingdom. And because I had that material desire, the Lord is now making the arrangement that I had this rule the kingdom before. I could have gone with him. I just didn't have that awful desire. He was not just embarrassed, he was ashamed. But what could he do? So he gathered himself up and went back to the palace. And when he came back to the palace, Uttanapada was, he was a wreck. Although Narada had come to pacify him, he was somehow sustaining his life. But his son, imagine if your parents, your son just like 6 or 7 years old, just like left home because he felt abandoned by you. Fathers, just imagine that happening. So Narada came and said, don't worry. Your son is going to achieve spiritual perfection. And when he comes back, you'll become purified by his association. And in fact, that's what happened. Uttanapada became so inspired by the association of his Uttam Bhakta son that he left the kingdom and he followed Dhruva's footsteps. He went into the forest and tried to find Vishnu instead of, you know, the happiness with his co-wives. And Dhruva ruled. And previously, this immediate previous section is his battle with the Yakshas and Swayambhuva Manu coming and pacifying Dhruva. You've done your duty. But it's not all these Yakshas. You're trying to destroy the whole population of Yakshas. The whole population of Yakshas didn't kill your brother. So you've defended the honor of your brother. Now stop. That's the grandfather. Just at that word, although he was very unique because he's an Uttamadikari and he got carried away. Very unique. But just one word from Swayambhuva Manu, he was steady. And because the Yakshas are worshippers of Kuvera, Kuvera was very pleased. Kuvera came. And he expressed his pleasure. Your submissiveness, the Swayambhuva Manu, your consciousness is so fixed upon the personality of Godhead. You please me very, very much. I'd like to offer you some benediction. And what's this? A demigod offering a pure devotee a benediction. But what benediction did he want? One benediction is, please let my mind be undeviatingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how can a demigod give that benediction? The answer, they can't. But the clue is that although Kuvera had expressed his pleasure with Dhruva, Dhruva wanted to make sure that there was no lingering aparad. Because when there's aparad, that blocks one's capacity. It's one of the anarthas, one of the clouds that don't permit one to become absorbed in unalloyed devotion to the personality of Godhead. He was seeking that, you can say, forgiveness. But he didn't say it that way. He said, please benedict me that with this capacity to stay always fixed upon the personality of Godhead. So Kuvera, to the core, excused him from that mistake. It's one of those applications, proper applications of Apichet Sudharacharo. It was not the right behavior. But Sadhureva Samantavya, such a person, Guru Maharaj, should be considered saintly. Krishna considers him saintly. We should consider, Bhagavatam considers him Uttama Adhikari, Vaishnava. So now he's king, and for some period of time, not just externally, but internally. Internally, he's fixed in Krishna consciousness, but he's given a service that says, you be king for 36,000 years. So the way that we are presented the verse is how we do the sadhana. But the position of Dhruva is he's at the perfectional stage, exhibiting, this is how you can practice. He's exhibiting the qualities, just as the first line of the verse indicates. Tam evam Shiva sampanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly, in the sadhana stage, or something that maybe we can relate to more, because we're not on the perfectional stage, how do we perform our duties, worldly duties, while always remaining fixed in Krishna consciousness? Or how do we practice that? There's a very nice instruction which Chaitanya is giving to Raghunath Das Goswami. Before he came Goswami, was Raghunath Majumdar. He was the son of Govardhan Majumdar. There were two brothers, Hiranya, the older brother, and Govardhan, the younger brother, and Raghunath was the son. And of these two, directly describes this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, their income was 1,200,000 rupees per year. Now, I don't even know if they had rupees at that time. But that's what Prabhupada writes in the purport. Meaning, and what was a rupee when Prabhupada first came to America, was $7 to a rupee. Then it quickly became 14 and so on. So Prabhupada said, multiply it by 100, and that's their wealth, whatever it is. They were fabulously wealthy. Amongst the wealthiest of all families in all of India. And they weren't just miserly, they were Vaishnavas, and they were very liberal in giving charity, just as it's described about Dhruva. He was so charitable that practically he would empty his treasury. And then because he was so spiritually qualified, his treasury would fill and he would empty it again. Just the Majumdars, they would maintain all of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas in their whole area. So they were very popular. But they were very respected. But they weren't just high and respected. It describes that the place where they came from was Krishnapur, and it wasn't so far from Navadvip, and they had a relationship with Jagannath Mishra. And they practically worshipped Jagannath Mishra. Lord Chaitanya's father was so qualified amongst all of the Vaishnavas in Navadvip. So qualified, respected by everyone. So even from the distant places, this Majumdar family, they worshipped, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Jagannath Mishra. But he was so Vaishnava-like, he treated them just like friends. They were worshipping him, and he was treating them as equals. And Advaita Acharya, in Shantipur, they would go and serve him because he was such an elevated Vaishnava. And he was very pleased with the Majumdars. So much so that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making his pilgrimage to India, he made a little detour first through Bengal, and after going to Vidyanagara, and so many hundreds of thousands of people came, it was too much. So he went to hide in Now the Greek and Kumimidram. And there he stayed at the house of Madhava Das. And for 7 days forgave thousands and thousands of people that were offenders. And then he went to Shantipur and stayed in Shantipur for 10 days. While he was in Shantipur, Raghunath came to know that Lord Chaitanya was there, not far away, and very close to their family. So he pleaded with his father, please let me go, or I don't know if I'll be able to maintain my life. He was so eager for Lord Chaitanya's association. So with some reservation, not only reservation, with like 10 guards to accompany him, Raghunath was allowed to go. And for 7 days, Raghunath was receiving the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's prasada that was arranged by Advaita Acharya. He got Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprasada directly from the hand of Advaita Acharya. How fortunate. How fortunate. And then he didn't say anything, but in his mind, he was praying to Lord Chaitanya, somehow please deliver me from the clutches of material existence and allow me to be in your association. He didn't say it, but Lord Chaitanya knew his mind. So Lord Chaitanya spoke very instructive words, appropriate for this position of what Dhruva Maharaj is taking. Three things. Be patient. Go back home. Don't be a crazy fellow. In due course of time, you will cross the ocean of material existence. Then he gave him this internal, external instruction. Don't be a show bottle devotee or a false renunciate. For now, enjoy the external world, the material world, in a fitting way, but don't be attached to it. So within your heart, remain faithful. Externally, behave like an ordinary man. By doing like that, Krishna will very soon deliver you. He will provide you the means. It will be clear, the means for you to escape that circumstance. Very instructive. How, because my experience as a itinerant sannyasi, many questions that people ask are the how-to questions. And here's the how-to answer. Right? How-to. In executing the duties of life, it seems by so doing it's entangling, it's very time-consuming, one becomes attached. Just like Priyavrata coming later, very soon in the Bhagavatam. Priyavrata, when the lineage of kings from Uttanapada was broken, there was no longer kings to carry on the line. Swayambhuvamana went to Uttanapada's elder brother, Priyavrata, and requested, Priyavrata, my dear son, please become the emperor of the world. And he didn't want to say, no, Dad, I don't want to do that. But he didn't want to do that. Definitely didn't want to do that. And his understanding was that by so doing, I'll become attached. To become an emperor, I'll have to have a queen, and I also have to have a treasury. And one who comes in contact with money and the opposite sex, it's very easy to become attached. And I don't want to become attached. On the other hand, here's Raghunath Das Goswami, who is renunciation personified practically, and Lord Chaitanya is saying, go back and perform your duty. Externally, so this is the clue, externally, as required to properly carry out whatever needs to be done, do that in a very responsible way. Internally, be very faithful. Don't be attached. Don't allow yourself or your mind to become attached, but perform all your duties in a very responsible way. In due course of time, Krishna will help you cross the ocean of material existence. It's a cultivation. In the course of doing that, same as the verse that Lord Chaitanya accepted, Jnane Prayasa Buddha Pasyana Manta Eva, you stay Sane Sita Shruti Katam Paravan Manogya. You stay in your position and hear the topics of the personality of Godhead from the proper sources, and don't involve yourself in endeavoring for knowledge through mental speculation. But that's on the Jnana Yoga side, and on the material side, the affairs of this world, perform your duties without attachment. Basic message of Bhagavad Gita, and here's such a nice example, or it's two nice expressions of how to. Dhruva Maharaj is not just, he's not on the external platform. He's doing his duties and dedicating them to the Supreme Personality Godhead. But his mind is completely fixed. His mind is completely fixed. Bhagavatam is so wonderful in that it gives us these very close, intimate examinations of the consciousness, the heart, both external and internal, of the perfected devotees. Ambarish Maharaj similarly, his opulence was surpassing that of the heavenly realm. He didn't care for it at all. But in that didn't care for it at all, it's described that didn't value it any more than a pebble or a small stone. Imagine you walk out of the temple room after class and you see a small stone on the courtyard. How exciting is that? Who's going to even pay attention? He didn't consider his enormous treasury any more significant than that, just totally insignificant. And yet he used it fully, as the previous verses about Dhruva describe. He engaged the brahmanas in performance of yajnas. And he gave in charity to the brahmanas and to all the citizens. He was distributing the fruits of piety because that's the platform that they were on. But internally, he was fully absorbed. Just like, again, the example of Ambarish Maharaj, there was a drought in his kingdom. And he was so pious, and yet there was a drought. And what did he do? He engaged the brahmanas that were very expert in yajna and performing yajna. While he was in the temple worshipping his Krishna deity, because he's a Krishna bhakta. He's engaging the citizens in his kingdom appropriate to their position and to according to the faith of the citizens who can accept whatever they can accept. But his consciousness didn't stray one fraction from Savayana Krishna Padar Vindayo. Externally doing duties as they are to be done, as is appropriate for the circumstance and time and so forth, and internally completely absorbed in thought of Krishna. This is Dhruva Maharaj's example. In the verse it describes that the first statement is that he was decorated with all good qualities. Tam evam shiva sampanam. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the position of worshipping the personal feature versus the impersonal feature. And one who worships the personal teacher becomes fixed in good qualities. That is to say, Krishna decorates his devotees with good qualities. There's 26 qualities of a devotee mentioned in our scripture. And of those 26 qualities, one is Swarup Lakshana, and the others are Tatastha Lakshana, principal characteristic and marginal. And the marginal follow the principal. And that the principal one, Krishna Eka Sharanam, is something that pleases Krishna so much that Krishna then begins decorating his devotees with nice qualities. And when Krishna sees the devotee come before him with nice qualities, he's very pleased. But he's the decorator of the devotees with those qualities, because where else are we going to get good qualities? They come from Krishna. And he decorates his devotees with good qualities. And then he's very pleased. And the devotee sees that Krishna is very pleased, and so they become fully satisfied. And when they're fully satisfied, the mind doesn't go to other things. They're protected by this one thing. They're exclusive shelter and devotion to Krishna. So there's, the verse says, Dhruva hath all godly qualities. And then it lists three of them. He was Brahmanyam, just like Namo Brahmanya Devaya. He had a quality like Krishna. He is very kind upon the Brahmanas, very respectful to the Brahmanas. He was very affectionate to the Brahmanas. As described previously, he engaged them, he liberally gave charity to the Brahmanas, he saw to their protection and their well-being. And because they were protected in the state of well-being, the whole of the country was benefiting by the proper execution of those religious duties that the Brahmanas were doing. So everyone is prospering and everyone is very happy. And Dina Vatsala, those who are innocent persons, a great personality, because somebody may be small or worldly insignificant, they don't make such a distinction. This is some innocent person, they're very kind to them. Just naturally so. Just naturally so. It's part of the character of a Vaishnava. And when that character of a Vaishnava is missing, it's not just a pinprick. If there's something, Krishna will decorate one with those qualities. I'll share a little anecdotal thing because there's a couple minutes time. Particularly those who are sannyasis or on that path of life who more particularly appreciate. It's a little difficult as a sannyasi because everyone wants to serve you, carry this and, you know, help you with that. And you can't do anything because people want to. And it's difficult. But after some time it becomes like a service to accept persons want to do this and persons want to do that. And it's a service under the society to take that position in service under the society. So I was recently traveling in America, we had our North American Temple President GBC meeting in Dallas towards the end of January. And then so I paid a short visit to Houston, and the flight on the way back goes from Houston to Dallas because it's a hub for America, and then to New York and off to India. So the Dallas airport is, I don't know who designed it, but it's like so far apart. There's terminal A, B, C, D, and so there was a an arrival over here and a departure over there, you know, to get from where the arrival to the departure was, it would have taken, I don't know, half an hour to have a skyway that was broken. So I didn't know what to do. So I went to one of those guys in the little golf carts. You know, I asked him, where's, you know, gate C26? He said, oh, it's way down there. If you like, I can give you a ride. And I said, okay, hop on. And they went to this, you know, some other place to get people up the elevators, because they were handicapped people, to Terminal D and then off to Terminal C. And when we got to the end, we were there in time. It was like they were just getting ready to board, and I was thinking, wow. I said to the man, you do this for a living. You just like help people make the connections. And I'm not even disabled. This is like a disabled vehicle thing. But you just took compassion on me. Thank you very much. I didn't get it right away. He like reached in his pocket. When he was like a subtle signal saying, I want some money. It's like, you know, it's part of the culture that's how I don't know how it works. They probably get a wage and the rest of it is, you know, donations or, you know, a tip, they call it in America. I didn't connect A with B. I just like, you know. And then I was getting onto the plane, and somehow Super Soul reminded me, like, you know, hello. This man isn't a Vaishnav, he's a worker. And his livelihood, his family, his everything is dependent upon. So it wasn't just like, you know, thank you very much. He didn't want just a thank you very much. He wanted a tip. He's got his family. It wasn't devotional service. And I was in this very difficult spot because I'm supposed to be on the plane, the plane's going to depart, and I want to go back and find this man, and I don't even know if he's there. And I asked them, they wouldn't let me get back off the plane. I said, I'm sorry, you can't get back off the plane because of security reasons. And I was thinking, how do I find that man and give him something? Because it's very personal, but just sharing this with you that we have worldly duties besides, you know, serving the Vaishnavas and so on. That there's a little, Gaurijan was sharing this with me about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that in Vrindavan, at Radhakund, they were doing circumambulation around Radhakund, and there are different persons with their little begging bowls, and he was with these industrialists from Delhi, I guess, and they were just like passing by the persons who are receiving contributions, chanting, and they just kept walking. So Bhakti Siddhanta stopped and said, do you think that now because you're Vaishnavas, you have passed beyond the Karmakanda rituals of helping? It's actually your duty as a grahastha, as a Vaishnava grahastha, to help those who are poor. This Dina Vatsala. We have to be discriminating unto whom, but the principle of, we have duties of life, we have duties to the world, ideally to deliver people the message of Krishna consciousness and Shuddha Bhakti, not just helping this poor person, that poor person. But grahasthas in particular, you know, how do we interact with the world without being entangled? So we should, just like it was being shown here, that the proper discrimination and the quality is built upon Krishna Ekasharana. It's built upon Krishna consciousness, and our Krishna consciousness is built upon hearing and chanting and receiving the mercy of Krishna through that process of hearing and chanting. But we should always be ready, whatever our position, to fine-tune how we're executing our duties of life, certainly amongst the Vaishnavas and within the world. And I, that I felt terrible, actually. I felt terrible. And I was just like, when are you going to become a human being? And you know, being tuned in to, this person has a need, and help this person that has this need. But not even just something. If I had some prasadam, I'd give some prasadam or something. But something. It's important to... It's part of our Krishna consciousness. It's not inconsequential. The Vaishnava behavior is part of our Krishna consciousness. And this other is Dharma Setu. Goptaram Dharma Setu Na. He was a protector. Goptritve. A surrendered soul is always feeling protected by Krishna. And a king, or a head of state, or a person who is taking charge of others, is to give protection to religious principles. Give protection to religious principles. As part of your Krishna consciousness, not just an external thing. It's part of your absorption in thought of Krishna. Protecting of religious principles, particularly for the head of state, or one who is in a position of giving protection to others. Because those qualities were there, because the Krishna consciousness was there, the citizens felt completely protected. They felt like he is their original father. They felt fully safe. But the kingdom was going on very nicely. He was protecting, they were feeling protected. But that his activities were being executed. And but most importantly, for him, he was absorbed in Krishna all the time. So there was no skipping, there's no misfire, no opportunities lost to properly carry out his duties as an ideal king. So in the Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, the Sureshwara Prabhu. So a little role play here, Maharaj. Say I'm your disciple, I just heard you give the class, and I want to say to you, Maharaj, Devarshi Bhutaptan Rinam Pritinam Katrinam, you shouldn't have felt bad after that incident in the airport, because that verse in the Bhagavad said that you're giving your life to Krishna, you're serving Krishna so nicely, there's no need for you to have any obligation to Buddha, even ordinary living entities.
That's right.
Don't feel bad, Maharaj.
Yeah. So no obligation.
So what do you say?
It's not an obligation that's to be, it's not a debt to be repaid. That's like, you know, that's material. So it's correct, my dear disciple.
You're getting on before me.
But it's part of our Krishna consciousness. It's part of our Krishna consciousness. And so, just like Bhaktisiddhanta said, to his Grihastha disciples. It's part of your Vaishnava duty, not material duty so that you can get free from the sin of neglecting of duty, or so that you can prosper by proper performance of duty. Those are material. This is transcendental. We have to act within society in a transcendental way. And there are different situations of life that call for transcendental action. Janmasthami.
In that regard, this episode that you had with the golf cart driver, isn't there also a principle of lokavichar that's active, that you're dressed in Vaishnava clothes and you don't give him money, so then it creates an unfavorable impression for him, making it difficult later on for...
Yeah, I was thinking, this gentleman will probably never give another Vaishnava a ride again. That's your point?
Yeah.
And then he's going to tell the other drivers, hey, you know what just happened to me? He went like this, but he... Besides, but that's not our real... The higher purpose is execution of our duty to Krishna. Go ahead.
I mean, we already got a pretty bad reputation in DFW, you know, from the book distribution tactics that we use.
That's long ago.
So this is another generation of golf cart drivers.
Yeah.
But what I was, another question that I had was, you know, we understand that if we have Vyashyatmika Buddhi, that we give ourselves, our heart and soul, to following the order of the spiritual master, pushing on his mission. Sometimes devotees seem to see that as part of their internal meditation.
Yes, of course.
And there's external duties that go with that.
Yes, that's the point.
But it seems that there's a tendency for attachment to be there, just like, well, this is my service, and this is an important aspect of the service, some of these external features. And so I guess my question, where is that discrimination?
Krishna
will give. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, one last question, Maharaj, while I've got you sitting there. you know, in the Stani Stita Shruti Gautam, Tanuvan Manubir verse, this dedication to hearing and chanting, and then making this one's main activity in life, sometimes that's precluded by the external responsibilities. So that seems to be like a real bind, for the hostess.
There's priorities. And if that which is of the higher priority is done while neglecting something that's of a lower priority, it's not a transgression. Now, how do we make sure that we have our priorities straight, where we follow guidance from those that are qualified? And I'm going to close the class because of time. It's 9 o'clock. I'm going to not give you another chance to ask another question. You got three. There are other people with their hands. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki jai.
Yeah.